Dan Hines is the director of the Michigan Department of Corrections, and I don't know how he does it. He's a busy guy, but he always makes time for us every now and again, and we appreciate his time. Dan, how are you?
Just fine, Tony. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate you being on the program. First of all, we just had Ray Holman on from the UAW 6000. He's the legislative liaison, and he was talking about the challenge that he and his union have with what he says may be inappropriate interaction that managers at the Department of Corrections are having with workers who have to deal with allegations of misconduct, that they're being embarrassingly asked for their credentials and escorted out of the building. What's your take on that?
Well, I don't want to get into specific cases of discipline because those are all still pending, but generally when those circumstances exist, it's because it's a very serious matter. It's, in our judgment, requires decisive action. Some of the cases that we've been investigating lately have been, ones that concern us. They have to do with public safety, and we believe, and I believe, that it's important for the director's office to take corrective action. And so I don't know which case he's referring to in particular, but I do think it sends a message to employees that we have to, take our job responsibilities very seriously. In many cases, these involve, public safety issues. So I think that explains our position.
Is there a more tactful way, you think, that employees could be, suspended or asked to leave the building in a way, I guess, that wouldn't be so embarrassing and humiliating, if that is the case?
Well, I don't know that, exactly what he's referring to. We're very sensitive to how we handle these cases. I don't think it's an easy thing to discipline people, but it is an important part of good management. I think people have to realize that we have procedures that have to be abided by, and for the agents that have been under scrutiny, it's for very serious rule violations. So we always try and be sensitive to how it appears to fellow employees, but on the other hand, I think we have to move ahead with these cases.
There have been thousands and thousands of files that have been put together as the Department of Corrections is initiated a crackdown on parolees and probationers. Talk about this.
Well, first of all, that term crackdown is not one that I've used. I think it's a media term. But let me just say that since I took over this office, there have been a number of very, very violent offenses that have been either a parolee or a probationer has either been arrested for them or been a person of interest. And my sense was that needed to turn up the supervision levels on probationers and parolees to make sure that they understood that it was important for them to abide by the conditions of their parole. And in many cases, as I reviewed these, particularly more egregious ones and more violent ones, where it was clear to me that the supervision level was not what it should have been. Public safety is my number one goal, Tony, and it's been a priority around here, or should have been for a long time, about getting probationers and parolees to abide by those conditions. And so I think it's important as we review those cases that we do it in a methodical and thoughtful way, but also that we make sure that both agents are supervising people correctly and that the person on parole or probation abide by the conditions of their probation. So I wouldn't refer to it as a crackdown. I guess I would call it just a tightening up of the level of supervision.
Well, it's interesting that you're reviewing all these cases. Do you think that we have been too laxed with the punishment for folks who have been convicted of crimes?
Since taking this job, Tony, I've tried not to look back about what was done by prior administrations. My strategy is to look forward, to apply the values that I bring to this job. And as I said, public safety is number one. I think that clearly it's important for people to know that we're going to enforce the terms of probation and parole, that we are going to be a proactive agency rather than reactive. In my estimation, it's not good enough to hear about crimes involving parolees and not adjust our strategy. There were too many of these very, very violent crimes that I thought had occurred since I took over, and I believed it was in the interest of public safety. And by the way, I also think it's in keeping, many of these were in those cities that are the focus of the governor's public safety address. He believes that Michigan cannot thrive when we have four of the top 10 most violent cities in the nation. And so, my role as the director of the Department of Corrections is just to help him on that mission, and keeping a closer eye on parolees is part of that.
When do you expect the report to be completed?
Well, we've already started this audit quite a while ago. I think we're a good ways through many of the caseloads. We've done a portion of just about every agent, it's going to take a lot of time. You're talking about 70,000 people under supervision, so I just felt it was time to go through those cases and case logbooks and make sure that everything was being done that could be done to ensure that people were abiding by their conditions of parole and probation.
Privatization of some of the prisons and facilities that currently are under your leadership, your control, your supervision, if you will, where do we stand with that? Have any decisions been made?
No, I guess I would have to say, Tony, that's still kind of a question for discussion. Right now, we're in the budget process, and as you know, that can be a fluid process. I think until some of those budget issues are resolved, we really won't know. There are factions in the legislature that believe in privatization. There are others that don't. This is a debate that's going to take place over several months. My stance is that I'm going to do everything in my power to bring down the high cost of corrections. And we're making a lot of progress in that regard, so we'll just have to see how that debate plays out. And right now, it's still very much up in the air.
Dan, when you first were appointed to the position, we had we were fortunate enough to get you on the program like a day or two after, and you mentioned to me that you had wondered why the cost of housing a prisoner in Michigan was more costly than in other Midwestern states. Have you found an answer to that question yet?
Well, what I have found, Tony, is that every state measures that per diem cost in a different way. And so some of those comparisons are difficult in that if you're not comparing apples to apples, then how can you make the comparison? What I do know is that in Michigan, we accrue all of the costs that attached to housing prisoners to our per diem. And, that, in my estimation, that may mean maybe the reason that the per diem is so high. So there's a lot of stuff, that goes on with the calculation of that. And I'm not so sure we know the full picture with many states. But I do know that a lot of our high cost has to do with personnel costs. And, that's primarily what drives the per diem cost. But, corrections is an expensive business. The bottom line is it costs a lot to do it and do it correctly and abide by all the laws, and we certainly have been the object of a lot of litigation. So that also drives our high cost.
All right, Dan, final question for you, and we're talking with Dan Hines, who's the director of the Michigan Department of Corrections. Would you like to have more workers? Would you like to have more probation officers and more people in prisons?
Well, I think we have a staffing level that's appropriate right now. The caseloads for probation are down. We were able to decrease the number of employees in the department over the last 12 months by about 600 positions. These were vacancies, so I didn't have to lay anybody off, which is the way I prefer to downsize the department. But I think we're reaching a point here where our population is going to stabilize at around 43,000 inmates. And the staffing levels are, I think, appropriate and safe. They should give all of us the confidence that our prisons are being well-run and that they're secure. So at this point, I'm feeling like we're about where we ought to be staffing-wise, both in terms of field services and in the institution.
All right, Dan, we appreciate your time so much. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you, Tony.